Ramsey TV.
Hey everybody, sorry I was a little late there. This is your friend and mine, Martin Zender, here at the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, knocking out wires by the second here. I have an important reminder for you. So for some people, it'll be the first time they hear it. This is inspired by a couple comments on my video about Alan Hess and his misunderstanding of the two gospels, thinking there is one gospel, which is a dangerous teaching. And there were a couple people who didn't realize why this was a dangerous teaching. And I appreciate their comments. I'm not going to call them out. They were public comments, but they were really well-formed concerns and well-articulated. And I answered them on the format, but I'm going to address it here in front of everybody here at the end of the week. And the crux of the comments were, Martin, why are you getting so upset about Alan Hess? This is just a little thing. Look, we all have this in common. We believe in the salvation of all. So as long as we're all on the same page of the salvation of all, which Alan Hess is, he understands the salvation of all, then why the infighting? Why the bickering? It's like, just let it go. I understand that sentiment. Look, I'm a man of peace. I like peace. I don't like to make waves. I don't. I find myself in the position of making them, but I do that in defense of the gospel of the transcendent grace of God, otherwise known as Paul's gospel, otherwise known as the gospel of the uncircumcision, that is, and the gospel to the nations. It's another name for it. Gospel of the grace of God. This. So many terms that are used almost like God's straining to tell us that there's a differentiation between what was brought to Paul by the glorified Christ and what was brought to Israel by the terrestrial Christ. Now, I must say this. I understand the sentiment of those who say, everybody believes in this. We believe in the salvation of all. Isn't that the important thing? It's important, but it is not the most important thing, because it is possible, and it happens every day, thousands of places. People believe, you can believe in the salvation of all without having saving faith, without believing in Paul's gospel, without having the faith belonging to aeonian life. The salvation of all is information. And it's not essential. I mean, for us it is, but for some people, it's not essential to base the salvation of all on the cross of Christ. For instance, you have people called universalists and Unitarians. Those of you who believe in the salvation of all, please do not ever refer to yourself as a universalist, and don't let anyone refer to you as a universalist or a Unitarian, because both of these groups do not base the salvation of all on the cross of Jesus Christ. For instance, the universalists say, well, God's just too good to send anybody to hell for eternity. Where? Anything about the cross there? Anything about the cross? No? Okay, well, Unitarians say that men and women, they're too good to be damned to hell for eternity. That has nothing to do with it. We're not too good. And it's not that God is too nice. We're not too good. Well, God's too nice. It's just that God is too nice. This is the universalist. God is too nice to send people to hell for eternity. He just wouldn't do it. He's nice. Well, he wouldn't do it in any case. But the reason he doesn't do it is not because he's nice, it's because his righteousness and his justice was satisfied when his son went to the cross for the sins of the world and became the second Adam and erased the old humanity. Now God can look at humanity as a new humanity and justify it. Justification, there's another specific message belonging to Paul's gospel. Very important to understand that. So you can believe in the salvation of all without having aeonian life, without having faith, without being, quote, saved. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Satan believes in the salvation of all. Salvation of all, wonderful truth. But it is not the gospel. It is a result of the gospel. When I say the gospel, I'm talking about the gospel of Paul. You will hear of the salvation of all referred to obliquely in certain passages from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, from the Old Testament, the so-called Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, but you cannot prove definitively from any writings of the Scripture other than Paul's 13 letters that indeed every single member of the human race will be justified and vivified eventually by God via the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You will not find it except in Paul's gospel. The salvation of all is not Paul's gospel. It is the result of it, I might say. It is the result of Christ having gone to the cross. This is not a circumcision teaching, what I'm about to give you. This is not an Israel teaching, what I'm about to give you. Christ going to the cross, conciliating the world to himself. You're never going to hear that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You're never going to hear that from Peter or John or James. Conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their sins against him. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You will never hear that truth from Peter, James, or John. Paul says there's one new humanity under Christ where there's neither Jew nor Greek. You will never hear that truth from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, James. You won't. It's not their burden to give you that truth. Their burden concerns the promises God made to Abraham concerning Israel. Their whole concern is Israel. Paul says there's neither Jew nor Greek. But Peter, James, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, it's all Israel all the time. And it's about Israel coming into the kingdom via confessing their sins. Their sins are still on their mind. Obeying the law. Overcoming to the end. He who overcomes will be saved. In the book of Revelation. Denouncing yourself. Picking up your cross. All these things that have nothing to do with grace. Denouncing yourself, picking up your cross. What does that have to do with grace? Nothing. Because you don't have to denounce yourself under Paul's gospel. You're a new creation. You don't have to pick up your cross because Jesus Christ already picked it up. What are you doing hauling it around? And yet Jesus told his disciples, pick up your cross. So Israel's still suffering under sin. Paul's gospel is completely different. So the problem I have with Alan is that he says there's one gospel. This is devastating to Paul's gospel, because when you say there's only one, then you eliminate the distinctions of Paul's gospel from the gospel to Israel. And it's deadly. It's deadly because we cannot mix law and grace. In fact, I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 1. Paul is very adamant about this. He doesn't want anyone distorting the gospel of Christ. But if you say, Alan says there's no difference between what Paul says concerning grace, not saved by law, no justification by law, and the other writers, the people writing to the nation of Israel, law is very important. It's still in play. Alan thinks it's completely done away with, which is absurd because of the new covenant. They're looking for the law to be written on their hearts. What's written on their hearts? The law. What law? The law of Moses is future going to be written on the hearts of Israel, and if it's not, then God is a liar. But Alan eliminates all that by saying, well, there's only one gospel. Well, what do you mean there's only one gospel? You're going to take all this hodgepodge of Israel truth and you're going to mix it with Paul truth. You're going to take the law and mix it with grace. You're going to take forgiveness and pardon and mix it with justification. You're going to take a verse like Hebrews, if we don't toe the line, there's a fearful waiting for judgment. Fearful waiting for judgment. That's what you read in Hebrews. Alan, do you apply that to us? There's only one gospel. Pick and choose from any letter you want. Take a bit of James. Why not? Take a bit of James that says a man is not justified by faith only, not justified by faith, but also by works of law. Faith by itself is dead. That's what James says. Paul says, no, we're justified by faith apart from works of law, completely apart. These two verses are incompatible. The old square peg in the round hole. Alan's busy sawing the square peg so that it's round and he can somehow fit it into the round hole. That's illicit. That's illegal. He's compromising the gospel of grace. He's taking down the walls of Paul's gospel because he doesn't think there is such a thing as Paul's gospel. And what comes in when you take down the walls? Law creeps in, because law is all over the rest of Scripture, and law is still future going to be fulfilled. So how can you not keep law from Paul if you don't have walls around Paul? And how can you have walls around Paul if you don't think that this man has a unique gospel? Paul says, to me, less than the least of all the saints, was granted this grace to bring the unsearchable, the untraceable riches of Christ to the nations, to me. Paul calls it my gospel. My gospel. This is what Paul calls it. He doesn't say the gospel. He says my gospel. As opposed to what, Paul? To Peter's gospel. Galatians 2:7, which Alan also obliterated back in 2018. I made a video against it. You got to watch it. I'll link it again down here. It's emergency broadcast. This stuff is important. It's important. It's more important than getting the salvation of all straight. It really is more important. In Galatians chapter 1, we have our apostle saying this. Paul says, starts out in Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not from men, neither through a man. What does he mean, neither through a man? Not from men, neither through a man, but through Jesus Christ. He means that he did not get his gospel from Peter. He did not get it from Peter. He says later that those who are of repute in Jerusalem, i.e. Peter, James, and John, submitted nothing to me. I heard this directly from Jesus Christ. There you go. Start with that. And then Paul gets right to the point in verse 6 of chapter 1. I am marveling that thus swiftly you are transferred from that which calls you in the grace of Christ to a different evangel, which is not another. What does that mean, Martin? Happy to tell you. A different evangel, a different good news, but it's not another. What's another? The another gospel is the circumcision gospel. It's a legitimate message that goes out to Israel. Paul says, but the gospel I'm talking about is not another gospel. Otherwise, I wouldn't be bitching about it. Because there is a legitimate gospel, Paul says, going on right now, concurrently with mine, and it's called the gospel of the circumcision. And it has to do with Israel. It has to do with the patriarchal promises. It has to do with law. It has to do with pardon, with forgiveness, with picking up your cross, with staying true to the end, with overcoming, with beware, being aware of a fearful waiting for judgment. Yeah, all that. That's a different gospel. But the gospel Paul's talking about, which I must put in air quotes, is another. It's not Peter's gospel. It's not the gospel to Israel. Paul elaborates here. He says, except it be that some who are disturbing you want also to distort the evangel of Christ. There it is. This other gospel, false gospel, is a distortion of the evangel of Christ. There's another name for Paul's specific message that he got from the resurrected Jesus Christ. The evangel of Christ, not the evangel of Jesus, the evangel of Christ. Same person, Martin. Yeah, but Jesus associates us with his humility, with his sojourn here on earth as an Israelite. Christ is his title. It associates us with the glorified man, Christ Jesus, who called Paul on the road to Damascus to explain to him what the cross meant for not only the entire human race, but for the entire universe, for the sins among the celestials as well. So Paul's situation, the situation of the believers in Galatia, was that there were some from the circumcision who were coming in and telling them that they needed to be perfected by law. And I don't know what's stopping people who believe Alan Hess that there's only one gospel. Alan says, only one gospel. Paul says there ain't but one gospel. Where? Paul doesn't say that. Alan says he did. It's a lie. So what's to stop people of Alan's camp from just borrowing a little bit from other scriptures? Because there's no walls. It's just all one. It's all one. So there's no walls. There's no distinction, according to Alan. He doesn't really state this, but this is a result of having no walls around Paul's gospel, of not recognizing Paul's gospel. There's no distinctions. No distinctions between law and grace. No distinctions between pardon and justification. No distinctions between an earthly destiny and a celestial destiny. No distinctions between James and Paul. No distinctions between Revelation and Ephesians, for God's sake. This is anarchy. This is insanity. It is a bastardized gospel, what Alan is teaching. He's not even teaching it. He's just letting it go. He's just like, oh, there's no walls. Pick and choose whatever you want. Take something out of Peter. Take something out of Hebrews. Take something out of Revelation. Take something out of Ephesians. It's all the same. It is not all the same. And Paul is so upset about it, and I am so concerned that it's happening, that people are going to just let law seep in. Alan has done this. Lets law sleep in. He lets it by not having walls. Paul's so pissed off about it that some are disturbing you, want to distort the evangel of Christ. And he says this in verse 8, but if ever we also, or a messenger out of heaven, should be bringing an evangel to you, quote unquote evangel, this is the mixed evangel, it's the distorted evangel, if anyone's bringing an evangel to you besides that which you accepted, let him be anathema, that is, devoted to destruction. And Paul is so adamant, he says it again, verse 9, as we have declared before and at present, I'm saying again, if anyone is bringing you an evangel besides that which you accepted, let him be anathema, devoted to destruction. Paul says, even if we come to you after sustaining a head injury or something, we start saying that, well, there's no difference between Paul's message given him by Christ and the message that Jesus, the Nazarene, the Israelite man, brought to Israel. There's no difference. He said, if even we start saying this, then we're anathema. We're anathema. Don't even listen to us if we start telling you something different than what we told you last week. And what Paul told them last week was, this is my gospel. It was given to me not by human agency. I didn't get it from Peter. I didn't get it from James. They contributed nothing to me. I got it as a direct revelation from Christ Jesus, who explained to me in no uncertain terms what the cross meant for all humanity. And he brought a message, Jesus Christ did to me, of the transcendent riches, of the transcendent grace of God, which does not require baptism. You won't find that in the circumcision gospel. Does not require the begging for the forgiveness of sins. Does not require it. You don't hear that in the circumcision gospel. Does not require that you be a Jew. Ho, you will not hear that in the circumcision gospel. It's very important to be a Jew. Just ask Peter, who's going to sit on one of 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This is dangerous teaching. It's anathema. Alan's teaching is doomed to destruction. It's destructive, and it will be destroyed. I'm trying to destroy it now so that no one will be tricked by it. No one will think, oh, he's just mixing the two gospels. He's just saying there's one gospel. Don't worry. As long as he believes in the salvation of all. Listen, I understand your sentiment. I love the salvation of all, but the salvation of all is not the gospel. If you're interested in all this, I go into detail, excruciating detail, on the things I'm telling you now in my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. Order it today. There's no better investment you can make.